Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome in, everybody, to another edition of the Go 24/7 podcast. I'm Matthew Bruni, and with me today to preview LSU versus Auburn is Sonny Shipp. Sonny, how are you doing today?
Doing good, man. Doing good. Glad to finally be able to get on some kind of schedule with these Thursday previews looking ahead to the game.
Right. Get them out Thursday and give people a couple of days to digest them, especially with the game being at 8 p.m. I mean, yeah, not that they're going to be listening to the podcast. They probably will be doing, you know, other things on Saturday, but, you know, give them a couple of days to digest this podcast.
Hey, we just need to get the right tailgate, get some Bose speakers out there blasted, and just let the whole parking lot where they're at listen to us. Right. Yeah.
Hey. That's what the Go 24/7 tailgating scene would be. Just our podcast blasting.
That's it. Come get all the beer you can drink, all the boudin you can eat, and listen to us.
There you go. So today, I mean, like I said, we'll be previewing Auburn versus LSU Saturday, 8 p.m. on ESPN. Big game for both teams coming in at 3-1. Obviously, LSU, the last two games, Central Michigan and Mississippi State, looked good in both of them. Meanwhile, Auburn comes in off a loss to Penn State, which I thought they played pretty well in. And then against Georgia State, they did not look so good in. Obviously, pulling that one out, I mean, by the skin of their teeth before a late pick six to make it a 10-point win. But and also, I mean, Bo Nix obviously leaving the game, TJ Finley stepping in and leading them back to a win. But first, before we get into Auburn, let's talk about some injury news, eligibility news. As we know, John Emery is still ineligible at the moment. Glenn Logan, defensive tackle, said he hopes to have him back in 2 weeks or so. Derek Stingley is still expected to be out for this game and for, you know, maybe a game or two after that, at least. Sage Ryan, we haven't heard anything on him. Expectation is that he is still out. Questionable Cam Wire, I have him as, even though I think they're going to try to get him some playing time, I think they're going to try to throw him out there and see how he does, just from what OS said so far. And then players that I expect to be good, Sony Fanua and John Trey Kirkland, both academically eligible. Then Armani Goodwin and Ollie Gay both played last week, but we knew they were banged up. So did I miss anybody? What are your takeaways from those injuries and eligibility stuff?
No, dude, I think you nailed it. And man, it's such a shame, Glenn Logan. The guy lost like 36 pounds. They had him listed at 339 this year, last year. They have him at 303 on the roster this year. 36 pounds. I mean, it sounds like he's probably in the best shape of his life since he had gotten to LSU. And once he started, you know, putting on that weight from high school to college. So for him to miss 6 games, I think it's really a, you know, you really just hate to see that. But getting Sony Fanua back, I think it is going to be big, especially at this time right here, especially dealing with an Auburn offensive line that's going to want to run the football. They're going to run it. They're going to, you know, just line up and they want to play smash mouth. They want to play, keep you in a phone booth, north-south running game. And so having Sony Fanua back in a game like this at 250, 260 pounds as a defensive end, I think it's great timing right there, because last thing you want to do is have to put Savion Jones or Landon Jackson or one of the younger guys in there, you know, who's just not physically ready to compete at this level. So I think that comes at a good time. Trey Bradford, you know, we hope to hear something on him. I don't know what I was never too optimistic that the NCAA was going to clear him, just because it was just such an odd story and an odd situation to begin with. And when has the NCAA, you know, ever done anything that seems to benefit the kids?
Yeah,
exactly. You know, it always seems like that their decisions tend to hurt the kids more than they help them. Yeah. But other than that, no, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head. And real quick, with Auburn, Owen Popo, I think I pronounced his last name.
Sounds right.
I'm not even sure.
I think
former five-star linebacker leader of their defense, didn't play last week against Georgia State. Nathan King with our Auburn site, I touched base with him today, and he said that he'd basically be a little surprised if Owen didn't play, just because he's the type of player to where the coaches have to basically just hold him back, you know, yeah. to keep him chained up, to keep him off the field. And then Demetrius Robertson, the transfer from Georgia. What was it, man? He's been to several schools, USC, Georgia.
Georgia.
And, you know, he was banged up last week, and he had been their number two, number three receiver early on in the season and stuff. And so I think he's questionable for this week. And so, you know, given all the issues that Auburn kind of has with their, you know, with their passing game right now, between not knowing which quarterback they're going to throw out there, firing your wide receivers coach four games into the season, you know, on Sunday, that's going to be a, you know, that's another element that you add into that. So really a lot of questions for the Auburn passing game coming into Saturday. And I really think that that passing game is going to have to flourish for them to leave Tiger Stadium with the W.
Yeah. I mean, who do you think gets the start, TJ Finley or Bo Nix? Who would you start? And then who do you think is going to get the start?
If it was me, I would start Bo Nix, and I would have it mapped out to where TJ knows when he's going to come in, and I would have his series, you know, charted out to where everyone's on the same page. The team is on the same page. You don't have to worry about, you know, potentially dividing the locker room if your quarterback controversy, you know, continues to, you know, just hang around all season long. So I would do that. And then whoever has the most success, that's who I would go with. And, you know, I think that Brian Harsin's going to follow that path. I do think that he's going to stick with Bo Nix. I'm not necessarily saying that because of all the, you know, the quote unquote politics involved and dealing with, you know, with Auburn and with the Nix name and all of that. I just think that it's going to present a more comfortable situation for, you know, for all of them involved. And I think even for TJ too, instead of TJ coming in and starting now, he can watch things, you know, he can watch a couple of series on the field, see what's working, see what's not working, then go in there and maybe not have as many nerves to where he gets in there and he tries to do too much.
Yeah. I think Finley, we saw last year, right? His first game for LSU was really impressive. He was moving the ball down the field effectively. Then that second and third game, once defenses started kind of settling in and kind of limiting what he could do, is where he kind of struggled a bit. So I think I would probably start Bo Nix and then fill in Finley in spots, especially if Nix struggles early on. Mapping it out, I think it's a great way to go, and I think that's what they're going to do. But at the end of the day, as we know, it comes down to the run game for Auburn, right? Tank Bigsby, Jarquez Hunter, those two dudes are studs. I really like what I've seen from Jarquez Hunter in the two games I watched with Penn State and Georgia State. He's a spry back, a young back, and, I mean, he hurdled the guy against Penn State and almost scored off of it, and I was like, okay, this is a guy who isn't just a quick guy that can, you know, get some yards and get out of bounds or, you know, take some hits. He's a guy who can break tackles, shed tackles, and he's a great counter to Tank Bigsby. I like their two back sets that they have whenever they run that. And I think it's going to be a challenge for LSU's defense to consistently stop the run. And I don't know what I'm expecting, but I don't think they need to be perfect against the run. But you just can't give up those, you know, 50-yard runs, 40-yard runs. You have to make them be consistent, which Penn State did. I think Penn State played a really good game against the run game, and they made Tank Bigsby. I think Tank Bigsby's longest run was like 16 yards. I think it was on the first or second possession of the game. After that, it was like 5 yards, 6 yards, 6 yards, 8 yards. Like, there was nothing really big play about Auburn's offense in the run game. And that's how you have to kind of beat them. You have to make them work and make them sustain long drives, make them be perfect, basically. And that's what I'm interested to see, especially with the pass game being such a question mark, is I'm not expecting LSU's defense to be perfect against the run, because I think that's unrealistic, just because I don't think that they are capable of doing that. But if they can make them sustain drives and get them into a couple third down situations where it's make or break, you know, third and four, third and five type stuff, I think LSU has a really good shot here. But the offense, Auburn's offense, you just can't let them break the big play. And I don't think they have the speed, and they don't have Anthony Schwartz at receiver anymore. You know, I don't expect them to make big plays, but that's what you have to really prepare for here is make them work for their drives. And that's what Penn State did. And I think that's what Georgia State did really well.
Yeah. And you mentioned, you know, you mentioned Jarquez Hunter. Everybody talks about Tank Bigsby, but Jarquez Hunter, for those out there who aren't stat geeks like me, this dude's averaging over 10 yards a carry. He's only carried about 36 times, 382 yards and two scores.
Wow.
You know, mm-hmm. granted, now we're talking Georgia State, Alabama State, Akron, but you do have Penn State in there, mm-hmm. you know, so you do have a, you do have a big boy that they have at least had to play against and that they've got some experience against. But, you know, the key, like you said, I think the key is stopping the run. You've got to stop the run. You have to make Auburn beat you through the air. You have to make Bo Nix. You have to make TJ Finley, two quarterbacks who have, you know, they've, the inconsistencies is probably as, you know, greater than or at least equal to how consistent they've been. You yeah. know, they haven't been able to string games together. And I'm a little surprised too with Bo Nix, because I thought Bo Nix would be maybe the, you know, maybe the third or fourth best quarterback that LSU would face this year. I was thinking that he was going to come in, he would really benefit from Brian Harsin, from Mike Bobo, you know, move into a little bit more quarterback friendly offense that would suit his talents and his skill set better. But he obviously he hasn't done that. You yeah. know, you he's completing 61% of his passes. TJ's at 56.5. So, you know, neither one of them. The good thing is that neither one of them has thrown an interception. So they're yeah, not yeah. turning the ball over, you know. And but I like LSU's chances of stopping the Auburn run. I everyone goes back to the UCLA game and how much UCLA ran the ball on LSU. But one thing that we've seen over these last 2 weeks is that the LSU team that played against UCLA is really nowhere to be found from the last 2 weeks against Central Michigan and Mississippi State. Yeah. So I've got some optimism that the front seven is going to be able to keep the Auburn running game in check. I'm not saying that they're going to stuff them or, you know, or shut them down completely, but I do think that they can keep them in check to where Auburn has to do some things through the air and they're not able to just run the ball. I like Damon Clark. I like Michael Baskerville. Playing against this type of team more than I do against teams who are going to try to get them in space like Florida, like Mississippi State, like Ole Miss, this is a game to where I think it suits their skill sets better. You've got big linebackers. You've got some physical linebackers. And as long as the LSU defensive line can keep the Auburn offensive line from getting to that second level with ease and let the linebackers kind of, you know, have some room to operate in, I think LSU can do, you know, what I think they have to do is make Auburn beat them through the air.
Yeah. And not for nothing, I think there's going to be a good amount of pressure on the safeties as well in this LSU game, not only to, you know, help out in the run here and there, but if the linebackers continue to press forward, which we expect them to do, which Penn State did, the, you know, linebackers committing to the run a little bit more, the safeties have to be aware of tight ends leaking out, you know, receivers getting deep, just crossers over the middle, stuff like that. And I think that's going to put some pressure on Major Burns and Jay Ward coming off of their best games of the season. So that's an aspect that I think is kind of underrated coming into this is, yeah, I agree with you 100%. The front six, front seven has to do their job, stop the run. But then once Auburn starts to counter off of that, regardless who the quarterback is, the safeties, I think, play a really big role in this. And I think the corners as well, because I think the corners will be in a lot more, you know, man-to-man situations than they were last week for sure.
Dude, I'm with you 100%. And, you know, and it's worth noting that, you know, LSU safeties aren't exactly, you know, huge stallions back there, big yeah. thoroughbreds back there either. You know, you got Jay Ward, who's probably a lot closer to 180 pounds than 190. Major Burns might be at 190, but, you know, you don't have big safeties
yeah.
back there. And so, you know, it's going to be crucial for that secondary to tackle as well as they did last week. And that was something that I felt that the LSU defense really did a good job at, except for the defensive lineman. The defensive lineman missed some tackles. Those guys were having to play in such wide gaps, and they had to cover so much ground where you can't really hold that against them, you know. But so you make a great point about the defensive backs and Major Burns and Jay Ward, and they're gonna have to crash down. Just hopefully Jay Ward's not putting his head down running into yeah. a brick wall like he did against UCLA.
Yeah, that was. That every time I watched that was just made me cringe so bad. I was like, damn, that's painful. And yeah. I'm gonna get a few games off it, obviously. So Let's flip sides. Let's go to LSU offense and Auburn's defense. Auburn's defense plays 4-2-5. I'm pretty straight up. They weren't too aggressive against Penn State, but they did a pretty good job against the run. I think they held Penn State to 2.5 yards a carry. They did get hit on a few play action plays as a result of stopping that run. Jahan Dotson from Penn State did get, I think it was seven receptions, but they limited the big playability from him. So they did a good job there. They kind of kept everything in front of them and made Penn State kind of hit them with checkdowns and whatnot, which I'm interested to see how they play LSU, because I think LSU has just as many big play options as Penn State, if not more. So that's an aspect I'm interested in. I think Max Johnson really holds the keys to this game to me, because I don't have any real faith in the running game. I don't know about you.
No. If you have none, I have less.
There you go.
No, I'm with you, man. I'm with you again. And, you know, and I know that LSU doesn't have depth at quarterback. I mean, look, we know that Garrett Nussmeier is not ready to play right now. All you have right now, all you have is Max Johnson until Miles Brennan comes back. But I do think, and I do think that when you play teams like Auburn, Florida, the teams coming up on LSU's schedule, is that you have to get to a point to where you say, okay, we have to utilize Max Johnson's legs a little bit more. Because LSU hasn't, you know, you talk about getting the run game going. Well, there hasn't been a zone read that we've seen that has that defenses have had to defend that element against LSU, because everyone knows that they've handed the ball off and they were going to continue to hand the ball off. But having that element against teams like Auburn, against Florida, you know, kind of like LSU did in 2018, where Joe Burrow, they didn't run him a lot, but they chose their spots to run him at. And I think that LSU is going to have to incorporate that into the offense a little bit more to maybe give this running back that shot of this running game, that shot of adrenaline that it really needs. Because I'm with you, I don't think the running game is going to all of a sudden improve. I don't think the offensive line is going to make huge jumps or anything during the season, just because of the personnel that they have. And so when you say that Max Johnson holds the keys, I think, to LSU's offense in so many aspects, that just shows just how critical and how important this guy is to their offense.
Yeah, you make a great point. Those quarterback handoffs, they haven't even tried to let him keep it or scamper out for a couple yards here and there to get down a slide. There's really been no threat about that. One thing I did notice with the Penn State quarterback, he was able to scramble for a few runs. I think he had 5 run attempts for 24 yards. I mean, that would be huge for this LSU offense if Max Johnson was able to get that number. So that's going to be an interesting aspect.
I was about to say, if someone ran for 24 yards in a game, you would have to feel good about that if you're LSU. Oh, but then I remembered TDP broke off 59 against it was last week, right?
That's the standard we've set. Yeah. If somebody hits 24 yards, anybody hits 24 yard rushing,
Max hits 24, Armani, Corey, and TDP, man, we're almost at 100.
Oh, man.
That puts this running game in a whole new light.
Oh, man. I just started laughing. I was like, oh, God, what is Sonny going with this? But I do want to touch on the RPOs, because they showed RPOs last week against Mississippi State, and they showed them against Central Michigan as well. But Mississippi State especially is where they were able to pop a few of them, and I think that's going to be an aspect that Max Johnson, again, putting a lot on his plate, reading the defense, making quick decisions, run, pass, option type stuff, quick throws to Kayshon Boutte, depending on how Auburn's playing him. And I find Jack Besh underneath. I think that's pretty much the game plan going in. I think it's not going to be too dissimilar to the Mississippi State game plan, but, you know, I think Auburn's front four is better. I don't think they need to send blitzes the way Mississippi State did to try to, you know, create some havoc. And that's one area where I'm interested to see, will Auburn be able to get to Max Johnson or bother Max Johnson with four, and they don't have to bring a fifth or a sixth and play man? Like, can they just bring four and drop into a zone and make Max Johnson hold it a few seconds? That's what I'm kind of concerned about.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, I don't know if I don't know if Colby Wooden, the you know, they're, you know, one of their top defensive linemen, if not, you know, their best one on the team. I'm not sure if he and the other members of that Auburn front can generate that pressure on their own. Derek Mason likes to blitz. He likes to use his linebackers, and that will present some opportunities for those RPOs, like you mentioned. And I've been beating this drum since, you know, for 3 weeks now, and I'm going to continue to beat it. But I really think the LSU offense is at its best when you have Kayshon Boutte and you have Jack Besh on the field together. You know, you can look at the stats. You know, you can see how many balls Jack Besh has caught compared to how many times he's been targeted. And I think that he could be such a weapon in those RPOs too, because he catches the ball. If he catches the ball across the middle, you know, he can pick up 10, 15 yards very, very easily after the catch, just because he's so physical. He's going to run through arm tackles, and he's not a burner, but he's got better speed. You know, he's got better speed than a lot of your tight ends do. And so I think that, you know, when you talk about the RPO game, that incorporating him more into, you know, incorporating him more into the offense with your other playmakers, you know, because I think we've seen enough after 4 weeks to realize that, okay, we knew Kayshon Boutte, you know, he is who we thought he was going to be going into the season. He just picked up where he was left off yeah. last year. I think we've seen that Jack Besh is probably, you know, if you don't want to say that he's the most consistent receiver that you have, and which I'm fine with that because I think he still needs to prove that, I think he's probably your second most consistent receiver. You know, just compared to the short, you know, the small sample that we have of the four games. Brian Thomas Jr., he showed some flashes, and then he showed some instances to where he dropped the ball, like you would expect from a true freshman. Same thing with Deion Smith. And so when you're trying to get as many of your playmakers on the field at the same time, you know, I'm just a huge, huge proponent that Kayshon Boutte and Jack Besh on the field together, that, you know, those are your two best receivers. Now the conundrum is, what do you do with Cole Taylor? You know, if you need Cole Taylor in to pass block, because there's no question that he is a more of a natural inline tight end than Jack Besh will ever be. But if that's going to be the case and you need Cole Taylor, then you got to get Jack Besh on the field at, you know, at one of the receiver positions. And I think that that would also be a benefit to the offense, because now, instead of, you know, it's going to expand the route tree, it's going to expand the options and the opportunities to be able to get him the ball, because he's going to be on the field more. He's going to be out in more routes. So, you know, I think it's inevitable that at some point you're going to see that. I think you're going to have to see that against teams like Alabama, you know, your Ole Misses, really everybody else that LSU has to play left on the schedule. I think you're going to have to see that in order for Kayshon Boutte to continue to put up the numbers that he's putting up.
Yeah, because teams are starting to key in on him a bit. Even Mississippi State, even though I think he had six receptions for, I think it was nine yards a reception, somewhere around there. Still, we didn't see him, you know, get the big play except for that RPO where he caught the slant and took it all the way. But it wasn't a naturally deep route, right? So, you know.
It was probably, a 20-yard throw and a 44-yard run?
Exactly. You know? So,
which was picture perfect, too. You know, exactly. Give Max Johnson credit, man, because that was a thing of beauty. You don't draw that up anymore to hit him in stride like that. And not to mention, you did that against probably the – you know, I mean, maybe the number two or number three cornerback in the SEC in Emmanuel Forbes.
Yep. And so the rest of the receivers, I mean, you mentioned Jack Besh being the most consistent of the rest of them. I think it's pretty far and away at this point. Deion Smith, Brian Thomas, again, like you said, both talented. You get Jontre Kirkland back. We don't know what to expect from him, and I don't know how many reps he's going to get in his first game back with the room being so deep. Coy Moore is basically out of the rotation. Chris Hilton, don't expect too much from him. Jahre Jenkins and Trey Palmer. I think Trey Palmer is probably that third most consistent receiver on this team. I think I really trust him, and I trust his ability down the field especially, but, you know, I on a down-by-down basis, I trust Jack Besh more. So I'm interested to see how they design this offense with the receivers and how they rotate the receivers, because I think that's going to be a big thing for Max Johnson, is being comfortable and being quick with the ball here if he does get blitzed. and keeping his composure, right? This is Max Johnson that against UCLA, I thought he was not composed at all. I thought he, you know, backpedaled too much. He didn't step up in the pocket. Against Mississippi State, his first touchdown, he stepped up in the pocket and delivered a strike. So this is a big game for Max Johnson, and it might be his, you know, it's definitely his most challenging game of this year, I think. I think just based off of what we know, obviously the UCLA game was a different animal, but I think everybody was caught by surprise by the Bruins there. So we know what we have in Auburn. We know we have in LSU. And I think this is going to be a game where Max Johnson has to have his best game of the season by a wide margin. So I'm excited to see it because I think he's capable of it. I think he's capable of it. I don't know if he's capable of, like, you know, being spectacular, but I think he's capable of delivering what he needs to do, doing what he needs to do and delivering for this team.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I think, you know, you mentioned how big of a piece Max Johnson is to this offense. And I don't think there's any question that he has to be who moves the needle for LSU. I don't think they're going to be able to, you know, I don't think they're going to be able to all of a sudden establish the run against Auburn. I do think that they have to pick some areas, and they have to get a few chunk plays out of the running game. 10, 11, 12 yards here, you know, 10, 13, 14 yards here, maybe a 15 or 16 yarder here. You know, they have to do some things to where Auburn can't just load up. They can't just sell out. And so I'm anxious to see that. I'm also anxious for young Matthew to have – will this be your first morning in the Tiger Stadium?
What do you mean by that?
Well, the game starts at 8. It ain't going to be over till midnight. So you're going to probably be in Tiger Stadium until about 3:30 in the morning if you do any work up there.
Yeah, it depends. If I do the work there or if I do the work at home, that's what it depends. But, yeah, either way, I'll be there. Yes, it'll be the first morning.
Hey, man. Hey, as a sports writer, those are lovely.
Oh, yeah. Until the first 11 a.m. game, which I've never covered an 11 a.m. game in person. Oh, I don't even think in any facets, college or high school. Until that happens, yes, it will be my first morning. And
the last morning game I covered was in 2008. I think it was 2008. And it was the App State game, season opener. They moved it up to a 10 o'clock kickoff because there was a hurricane coming. And there was a hurricane that was supposed to either hit Saturday night or Sunday morning. I forget what it was. And it was Hurricane Gustav, too, which was which dealt a pretty big blow to Baton Rouge, you know, maybe even a bigger blow than Ida in some places. But yeah, that was the last morning game that I had to cover. And so just getting out of there and dealing with the Baton Rouge traffic and stuff anyway that you have to deal with leaving the game. And then you add the hurricane traffic on top of that right there. And that was not a fun time. So I'm glad that you are now with us and you can, you know, you can have those morning kickoffs.
Yeah, that'll be fun. I can't wait. last question I have before we get to predictions here. Over under, we talked about it briefly. Over under 60 yards rushing for LSU.
Over under 60 yards. I'm going over.
That's basically what they've averaged in their three FBS games this year.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going over. And a reason that I'm going over is that I believe from looking at the stats, and I believe the longest run that LSU has had this year has been 24 yards. If I'm not mistaken, I believe Kiner, TDP, and Armani Williams all have runs in the lower 20. So I'm gonna go, and I'm gonna even say that someone breaks off the longest run of the season on Saturday night.
Wow. I'll be the pessimist here. I was gonna say this either way, but I'm gonna go under. I'm the one concern, and I think this would be like my last like general point here. But my one concern is that the Mississippi State game, they still weren't able to like sustain drives, you know, consistently because of the running game, obviously. But Coach O's been really preaching first down efficiency and getting more yards on first down, being better on the first and second down, so that way you're not facing those third downs. I mean, I think was the touchdown Max Johnson on the first drive that they had, I think was on a fourth down, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, sustaining drives is a big concern for me. So I'm not sure, and I don't think the run game is going to get going. So I think they're still going to have to rely on the big play. And I think they can do it. And I think they're going to be able to hit some big plays. But the consistency of the offense on first and second downs with the run game being the way it is a concern for me. So I'm going to say under 60 yards. And I'm questioning how much they even really attempt to run the ball going into this. It really depends on how Auburn plays it, right? So that's what I want to see.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I've got an over and under for you then.
Okay. Go ahead.
Over or under Auburn, 175 yards rushing.
Ooh, shoo, damn. I really don't believe in their quarterbacks or passing game at all. So I'm going to go over. I did look it up. I was looking it up and I looked up the past year, last year, games that they averaged 5 yards or more on the ground and games they averaged 4.9 or less, just to see if there was any trends, and there was no real trends. So, you know, I think, like we said, you know, they're going to need to slow down the run, but at the end of the day, if they can't throw the ball, I think that might be too much to overcome in this one. So I'm going to say over the run game, but I'm still confident that LSU's defense will have a good day.
Okay. I think Tiger fans will take that.
All right. Yeah. Well, let's see the prediction. I mean, you're the one.
Yeah, I was gonna say who you got then. All right, make a call.
All right. I'm gonna go with a low scoring game, similar to last week. I think it's gonna be a low scoring one. I think the over under is at 55 right now, 55.5. Going under that pretty significantly here. I'm going 24-20 LSU. I think it's gonna be defensive game. Both defensive lines win their battles, and I think LSU last week kicked way too many field goals against Georgia State, and I think that kind of does them in. So 24-20, I think Auburn struggles to finish drives with the situation that they're in at quarterback. So give me the Tigers or the LSU Tigers.
That's what I was about to say. You can't say Tigers, dude. Come on. Come on. You got to pick up. You got to say War Eagle or Plainsman or somebody if you're going to pick Auburn.
No, LSU,
I like that 4 point. I like the 4 point margin though. I do like the 4 point margin. I think both teams are going to move the ball inside the, in between the 20s. I think they're going to move the ball, but I think the offenses are going to stall out once they get into the red zone. And that's why I like LSU 27-23. I think that
how many field goals is that?
Huh?
How many field goals?
Three touchdowns and two field goals for LSU.
And then
two touchdowns and three field goals for Auburn. Okay. Yeah. I actually put some thought into it.
There you go.
Yeah. But my son asked me, he's like, "What? How do they score that many points? Are they getting like safeties and stuff?" I'm like, "No, son." But back to the why.
Yeah.
I like LSU's defensive line in this one. I think that Neil Farrell has played pretty good against the run. Joe Evans has played pretty well too of late. And I think that LSU is going to, we thought going into the season that the defensive line was going to be the strength of this team. I think it has on defense. And I think that this is a game where they really kind of assert themselves a little bit. And not necessarily saying that they're going to blow Auburn off the ball or anything, but I think this is a game to where they're able to hold their own and you're able to start seeing some signs to where, okay, some of these young guys like Jaquelin Roy, we saw some plays against McNeese State, saw some plays against Central Michigan, Jacoby and Guillory, kind of the same thing. Mason Smith, you hadn't really seen much of him since that McNeese State game when he had, what was it, 3 sacks?
Yeah.
I believe, you know? And so I think this is a game to where the young defensive linemen, they really kind of feel off of this emotion and this energy that Tiger Stadium's going to have Saturday night. 8 p.m. kickoff. Man, the fans are going to be out there so early. They're going to be drinking all day. It's not going to be that hot. They're going to be able to avoid a little bit of rain and stuff. And when that sun goes down around 6:45, 7 o'clock, and everybody starts making their trek to the stadium and everything, down those last 3 or 4 beers before they get in there, that once that energy and that excitement really takes over, I believe that you're going to see the players feed off of that. And then you'll see the fans feed off of the players. And so I'm really excited to see what the atmosphere is going to be like because, you know, you didn't see any of it last year of the Tiger Stadium in its full effect. You haven't seen any of it this year. And I think Saturday night's going to be one of those nights to where, you know, people who aren't even LSU or Auburn fans, just a casual fan clicking through and watching a little bit of the game is going to be like, man, that place is loud right now. You know, so I think the atmosphere and the energy – is going to really help this team. And I think it's just going to continue to take some steps that we've seen the last 2 weeks.
All right. Well, Sonny's got 27-23. I got 24-20. So we both have the under, but the spread
is... We got to start making Shady and Wild Bill give us their picks before we record.
Right.
We get them on the record too.
It's ridiculous. They go off
because they get to just sit back and laugh at our mistakes.
Yeah. I was on the radio yesterday and I said 24-17. So, you know, we're continuing to move, but.
You know what they call that in South Louisiana?
What do they call that?
Crawfishing.
Crawfishing. Okay.
Yeah. I'll crawfishing now. It's like when somebody says, yeah, man, I'll come help you move. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then you call them up that day to help you. Oh, man, I got to take my little girl to ballet. When did you have a daughter?
Crawfishing. You know? There you go.
Oh, learning exactly that. So crawfishing, Matthew. You're learning, man. You're acclimating to South Louisiana just perfectly.
There you go.
Hurricane, you go. Check that off the list. LSU games, get that morning kickoff in, man, and then boom. Yep.
There you go. We check everything off the list at that point.
There you go.
Well, thank you all for joining us. This has been a lot of fun. Again, 8 p.m. kickoff, ESPN, Tiger Stadium, LSU Auburn, you know, big game every single year, especially this year with a lot of implications moving forward. Follow us on Twitter at Go247. Follow Sonny on Twitter at SonnyShip247. There's my Twitter right there, MatthewBruni_. Subscribe to our go247.com for the latest content and for our VIP board, which we are on every day, basically every hour. And subscribe to the podcast on Apple, on Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. And subscribe to our YouTube page if you're watching this on YouTube. We appreciate it. Leave a like, comment, and subscribe. And we'll talk to y'all later.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.